Ramble.
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the podcast that loves that it loves. This week we're talking about 1994's Pagemaster starring Macaulay Culkin. And we got our good buddy Thomas Sanders here joining us in the digital studio.
What is up, everybody? What's up, Tom? How are you guys doing? Thank you for inviting me to this.
We love you and your voice.
Such a good voice.
Such a treat. Thomas, of course, you know him from the YouTubes and the Vines of yesteryear, and he is a writer and a singer, a performer, just a wonderful all-around human.
Oh,
probably
very
one of my favorite voices to listen to.
Very kind.
Oh, wow.
You know how you meet YouTubers and then you're like, oh, God, they're a dick? Thomas is like extraordinarily nice to people. I've seen it.
Well, I'm just honored to be amongst everybody like this. It's just an honor and privilege. So I'm just being like thankful any day that I get to.
Aren't we all in this fucking economy?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Thomas, what have you been like? What have you been up to? I haven't seen you in, well, over a year.
Definitely.
Over a year. Just like plugging away at some big video projects that have been in the works for months. Trying to do that with like, we're trying to work with like a videographer and like a sound engineer this time around. And obviously with COVID, it's like so tricky and arranging schedules is tricky as well. So it's been a labor of love, but I've been thoroughly enjoying it. Putting together like photo shoots with new kind of like looks, like fun looks based around the characters from our series has been really fun as well. Doing a lot, doing the most, doing just a bunch of like independent creative projects while also trying to maintain good mental health practices in the time of Corona.
Should.
Not
very
easy.
Tough.
You know, I'm actually interested to hear. So I'm interested and excited to hear your connection to this movie, The Pagemaster, because it is a fantasy adventure movie, right?
Yeah.
But it kind of like, I'm thinking about the content that you make and you have one character with several expressions of themselves, kind of like in this movie.
True.
You have, it dabbles in worlds of fantasy a little bit. I don't know, maybe I'm reaching, but that's what I do.
Well, yeah, when I was rewatching the movie, I did come to the realization that I have been sensing a bit of a pattern with the things that fascinate me. Because I was like, this movie's just, there are definitely times where I'm like, I don't know if there's any like metaphors or allegories that they're trying to describe other than this kid just going on this random fantastical adventure. He's like jumping from different land to land. And I'm like, and then later in life, I was like really obsessed with the video game Kingdom Hearts, which is pretty much the same thing. Just jumping around.
What?
No, it's great. It's Disney. This kid just goes around. It's like it was big because it was Disney mixed with Final Fantasy. Mm-hmm. And he just jumps around at different worlds of Disney movies.
Final Fantasy that movie where everyone gets killed in a weird way?
Are you thinking of
That's Final Destination.
Final Destination.
Oh my gosh, what a crossover that would be.
Wow.
Sorry. Carry on.
Final Destination Fantasy.
Kingdom Hearts, where it's actually just Final Destination, a much darker Disney movie.
Oh my gosh, yes. And they just kill off all the Disney characters in wildly fantastical ways. I feel like at the very least, I have this character in the series that represents like my creativity, and he's literally like this kind of medieval inspired prince character who's like over the top and very into Disney. And watching this movie, I was like, wow, so this probably was very much shaped by like those movies.
Is a Disney movie is my first question.
It's not.
No,
right?
I think it's
what?
Fox.
This is not a
20th century Fox.
How did they get away with anything?
Which, okay, if we really want to split hairs here, 20th Century Fox was just purchased by Disney. So
Disney
now,
movie.
Technically, it is a Disney property.
But how did they get away with all, literally, like, everything Disney in the movie?
There's nods to
Cinderella's in the background. There's, like...
Wow.
Yeah.
Classic literature, baby.
Yeah, that was based in German literature.
Oh.
Yeah. But I remember, yeah, point. Zach, you were like, I can't find it on Disney Plus. And maybe you thought it was because it acquired Fox. But I looked it up because it feels like a Disney movie.
What is
it? Sword in the Stone? Is that what? There's a movie that's kind of like it.
I can understand. I can see that. Sword
maybe
of the Stone.
Sleeping Beauty, maybe. A King Arthur movie. I'm not sure. But there's one that's kind of
Here's the thing. I've realized as I've kind of like gotten older, I've developed less of just, I don't qualify myself as like a Disney fan as much as now I'm like just a fan of animated movies that tell really freaking cool stories. Because I feel like I don't know if it's like a death of the artist or death of the author kind of thing, but I do try to just like appreciate the movies on like just the stories basis. Yeah. And I feel like, you know, all the companies are so huge kind of like concepts. And really, I try to appreciate the writers and the animators that worked to make this. So the Pagemaster was created, was a David Kirschner movie. And I don't know if he's also responsible for it, but it's the same animation company that created like Fern Gully.
Oh, shit.
I knew it.
So
it
that's
just
the animation
like Fern Gully.
Yes. Yeah. I thought the same. I didn't know that until I looked it up last night. And I thought, I was like, that makes a lot of sense.
I texted my sister this morning and I was like, have I seen this movie? Because I don't actually think I've ever seen this movie. But I texted my sister and she was like, no, but this looks like a combination of Fern Gully, Sword and the Stone, and Beauty and the Beast. And I was like, okay, so I haven't actually seen this movie. Which that was like, it threw me for a loop.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, there was definitely this early 90s genre of animation that put out a number of animated movies. I'm trying to think of another one. It was like a Forest Tale or something like that. But there was these early 90s animated movies.
Land Before Time?
I think Land Before Time was Don Bluth as well.
You're talking about Oliver and Company?
Once Upon a Forest. I haven't thought about that movie in so long.
That's
I fucking
it.
Love that
Once
movie.
Once Upon a Forest.
Holy shit.
Hold on.
Guys, future episode. Oh, you just lightning bolted my nostalgia. Holy shit.
Hanna-Barbera.
I watched the fuck out of that.
It's the mouse inside of a plant airplane. Everyone knows that.
Yes.
And there's that scary scene where the gas rolls in.
Yes, and it almost kills it's like killing the little skunk girl. The tiny little skunk girl that they have to go and get medicine.
Skunk girl is
well,
the best
we are
insult.
Not talking about Cruella. We're not talking about Once Upon a Forest, but we are talking about Pagemaster.
Yes.
So if you're like us and had not seen this before, let me hit you with a quick synopsis. So the movie stars live action Macaulay Culkin as a little
fucking nerd.
I'm gonna go ahead and say he's a little dork. He's a very timid kid who is just afraid of everything. He has statistics about why he can't jump on ladders.
I like to think this is the story of the of Kevin McAllister after Home Alone when he's dealing with PTSD from all the burglars trying to kill him.
When he's got so much fucking anxiety, he's like, I can't step on the
he's
ladder.
Like, statistics show that if I go outside my door, a can of paint might swing and hit me in the
head.
Exactly. Well, how are you getting these statistics? Internet's not even a thing yet.
Yeah. And he doesn't go to the library. So where does this come from?
Young Macaulay Culkin goes to the library where he slips and falls and enters an animated adventure where three books, adventure, fantasy, and horror, send him on a magical journey to find courage as dictated by the Pagemaster, a magical wizard. Through trials and tribulations and going through many different cameo adventures through different storybooks of the past, he learns to get courage. And he doesn't really save the day, he just kind of saves himself and becomes the young boy he was always meant to be. How did I do, Thomas? Did I capture your favorite
film? You did a great job, Zach. I definitely, it's as simple as that. There's no other higher lesson that's learned. He gets over his fears, I suppose, through exposure therapy.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a great way to put it.
I thought the message was to teach kids to read, like to get kids more interested in
books.
That's
what it felt
like. And then I was like, if I was a child, I would fucking run from the library after seeing this movie. This movie did not make me want to read more.
Yeah, I would be super upset that I didn't like fall into an adventure after reading
That would upset me.
That's what I thought.
Instead, your fucking fifth grade teacher makes you read The Hatchet for the sixth time. When I could quote that movie front to back.
When I saw Toy Story, when I saw Toy Story, I like everybody else, I was hiding in the closet waiting for the toys to come alive. So,
If I watched this
and I saw it, I was like, I would be super, super upset.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
No, that was me. I felt like it was about the joy of reading, but I was just like, it didn't really help me get more into books because I was like, it's portals into fantasy worlds or nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the 90s, so yeah. Nerf or nothing was a phrase, and so that's why I talked like that.
Oh, okay. It makes a lot of sense.
But I want to know more, Thomas, like, what did this movie mean to you as a kid? Was this one of your go-tos?
It was slightly, yeah, I think it was a go-to. Ironically enough, we checked the movie out at the library. We were allowed to check out two VHS tapes.
Yeah.
Yep.
What's a VHS, Thomas?
What's a VHS? It's video home system.
Is that what it stands for?
I don't know. It was just one of those that made me laugh. It was kind of an escapist kind of movie where I was just like, I want that to happen to me. I'm not too scared all the time, but this kid, I definitely felt seen when he got bullied a lot. And I was just like, I want to go on a wild romp in an anime. I was obsessed with animation as I still am. And I was just like, this is the coolest. Like, I wanted to be a cartoon. Correction, illustration, and
nice.
I just liked the adventure of it. I thought that was pretty darn cool, and it's not any deeper than that. Yeah. I think.
No. If I could describe it to someone who doesn't want to watch this based off of like the trailer you find on YouTube from 1990 fucking whatever.
They sucked at trailers back then, by the way. Really bad at them.
Yeah, still had a voiceover like then. Once there was a boy who fell off his fucking bike and always ran into things. He ran into trees, he ran into doors, he ran into ladders. And it's like,
but that was a cool fucking bike.
He's about to learn that books are more than
it's
beyond.
Yeah, and it's like,
read, bitches.
You're reading books.
No, I'm sorry.
But it's like they give you a very light dive into some of the greatest stories of all time. So you get like the pirate scene, you get the Frankenstein, Jekyll and Hyde, you get the glass slipper fairy godmother, and it's just this like amalgamation Frankenstein of a story of a kid learning about the greatest stories of all time. Fair.
Correction, Kelsey, it's Frankenstein's monster. Did you learn anything from the movie?
You're so right. When he said Jekyll and Hyde, I was like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. I for sure thought we were in Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, an absolute pleasure of mine is that if you don't like any part of the movie, just wait approximately 4 minutes because they're going to be in an entirely different movie. It jumps all over the place, and it's only an hour and 15. Half. Yeah. Ooh, what's not to love about
hour 15.
That? Ooh, damn.
It's more of a movie short film, but I know it's not. I know it's not. My friend would yell at me if I said that. But yeah, no, it's quick. And it's, yeah, it's just a wild romp.
Can I say one of the pleasures is the amount of stacked voice actors you don't realize you have in the animated world? Because the hybrid animation live action actually is very interesting to me, because we're seeing a lot of that like come back to life and be repurposed. But you don't, unless you knew who the actors were, like you didn't realize what a big deal who you were listening to.
Garrick, hit us with some of them.
No, I don't know any of the voice actors.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Whoopi Goldberg. That's Whoopi Goldberg,
Sir
I knew.
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart was in this?
I just found out that Adventure was voiced by Patrick Stewart. Oh, I had no idea.
Because he's playing a pirate in this movie. It's like, it sounds nothing like him.
Didn't sound like him.
You've got Leonard Nimoy in this.
Another Star Trekkie.
You've got...
Oh, that's why.
Uh-huh. Frank Welker, who is a huge voice actor, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, it's got, oh, and fucking, you got,
Christopher Lloyd.
Of course, Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future.
That was my first note.
Oh, to be Christopher Lloyd in the early 90s when he got to play every zany magical man that endangered the life of another unsuspecting child.
It is so funny though, because like, Back to the Future, obviously, like, the biggest movie of all time. And so, for the next decade, they're like, kids fucking love Christopher Lloyd. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. I don't know
for
if they
me,
actually
that
do.
That was true.
It was true. This is the 90s where an old man talking to a younger boy didn't raise any red flags.
I didn't like it.
He was just like, didn't raise any Christopher Lloyd. He's talking to kids. That's what he does.
Yes. Yeah, he's harmless.
Jesus.
He's just going to put that kid in a slight
he's
coma.
He's like, oh, is that a pedophile? Yeah. No, it's a scientist. You know, like that's where you get it.
You get to go, I'm just going to point you down the library to the phone. I'm not going to lead you there.
Because
biggest library that has ever existed in a small town of Pleasantville, wherever the fuck he was from.
I was going to say, this abandoned looking library had a beautiful ceiling.
Mural.
Mural. I was like, wow, this library that apparently is not doing very well is very financially endowed.
I wrote down in my notes that this library has like the Sistine Chapel of library murals. It is the most intricate and beautiful giant mural. Also, a fun detail I noticed. So in the beginning of the movie, Macaulay Culkin, little wimp, goes to the library. There's a thunderstorm. He needs to borrow a phone. And Christopher Lloyd goes all the way down there. But as he's pointing him down to go to the phone, there's a telephone in the shot. There is a telephone at the desk that Christopher Lloyd is standing at. And
well, that's
like
the,
very
that's
clearly
all other books.
Oh,
man.
That's funny.
That wily rascal. He was like, I'm going to have you at least walk, get some looks at some books, maybe slip and fall and go on a magical ride. But I'm not going to show you this phone that's right in front of me.
Right.
That's a good catch.
Welcome to the library. Concussions are welcome.
Well, something we failed to mention was that mural happened to also be Christopher Lloyd in various versions of himself as a wizard, a fucking pirate, a fucking all the villain slash hero, clearly.
Oh, did they have him as all of the other characters?
Yes.
I know he was the pagemaster.
He's all of the characters.
That's the first thing I noticed.
And his face is like not changed at all. And I'm like, kid, all you have to do is like see the fucking literal writing on the wall about what's about to happen to you. Like all the context clues are right here. But then you realize that it's him sending you on an adventure. Like he owns this library. He's plastered himself all the way across.
Yeah. Who knows if that library even existed?
Oh,
maybe that
doesn't.
Was just there for Macaulay Culkin's character to just, you know, happen upon.
I think Christopher Lloyd is a egomaniac.
Yeah, me too.
I think his character is, because I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think his character just like is not obsessed with books. He's obsessed with being a star.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Is that
true?
Of the 90s.
Putting himself in places he doesn't belong. I get it.
Oop. See, that makes him sound pedophilic.
But in the Christopher Lloyd way, where he's just like, I got to be there. You know, not in the fucking weird pedophilia.
Yeah.
Is Christopher Lloyd also the guy who wrote Phantom of the Opera?
No, that's Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Oh, okay.
That's amazing, though, because the narcissist Christopher Lloyd would put himself as the Phantom.
Yeah, sorry. This is also the podcast where I just keep confusing people with each other.
Oh, that's great. No, I want more.
Marty, there's a Phantom!
Danny Phantom.
Can you hear it, Marty? the music of the night. I love it. No, yeah. I was like, why can't I find a magical library with a weird old dude
who's not a pedophile? Who's not a pedophile? Ugh.
Especially in Florida, they don't exist. I mean, Thomas, I don't know if you went to public school in Florida. I did, but I'm curious for the rest of the gang. What is your relationship to books? Because I love them, obviously, like have them everywhere. And I was known, I was made fun of in elementary school because I would go to the library by myself, like during recess, and I would smell books. Oh.
The books have good smells, Kelsey. But
I agree.
I can totally understand how kids, because kids can be rude.
We're mean.
Yeah. And this was
that
before
I was sniffing the books.
Did they call you book sniffer?
Yeah. And they would be like, why are you always in the library by yourself? I'm like, because the books smell good. And they're like, what do they smell like? And I'm like, noodles. And it's delicious. And they're like, oh, all right. Well, you're weird. And then they'd run away. And
yeah. What you don't understand is I'm getting a weird contact high from this. So I'm actually really cool.
I don't know why I did that, though. Do you guys, were you guys readers?
No.
I can't say I was until I was introduced to the third Harry Potter book, and then I went back and read, but that wasn't until later. But I will say, this is weird timing for me to then say this, but I did, my first job was actually working in a library, so I don't know if that's I don't know if that was affected.
Thomas, your entire life. Yeah. Is this movie it decided the course of everything?
I will say that everything in that movie, 100% accurate. That's what happens at a library.
I want to hear Garrick hasn't been able to get a pleasure out because we keep bringing up another.
Oh yeah,
one.
I know.
I realize that as soon as I see Macaulay Culkin and a little bit of jingly shit in the background, I'm in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. He was the Vin Diesel of the 90s. I will watch.
Oh my God.
I will watch anything he was in.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Too home, too alone.
Too home, too alone. As soon as I saw that there was a different kid for the third one, right? I was like, get this bullshit out of here.
Yeah.
They were like, I don't want it anymore. Yeah.
But so that's like an obvious pleasure too, is that he nailed voice acting.
Right. I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe it.
I could not believe Macaulay Culkin as a child
actor. No, like voice acting is fucking hard. It's so hard to throw your voice and not make faces. Like, no. Mm-hmm. Throw your voice and know that another face is being attached to it rather than your own. Because, like, you making faces right now, it's just like, oh, yeah, I can kind of convey what you're trying to say regardless of how flat your voice is. But voice acting, you got to do all of that shit just with your fucking voice. It's insane. And he did that at, I don't know, what was he, like, 12 at that time? Insane.
Was this post or pre-Home Alone?
This has to be at the same time.
It was post Home Alone. Yeah. Post Malone.
I was like, wait, yeah, what? Everyone was thinking it. Macaulay Culkin as Post Malone.
I mean, look, he's in a movie with Sir Patrick Stewart, Leonard Nimoy, Whoopi Oscar winner, Whoopi Goldberg.
Who's hysterical.
And honestly,
she
I think, oh, but I EGOT Whoopi Goldberg. I think that Macaulay gave the best voice performance.
He was really
He
was giving him a run for their money, but Patrick Stewart really was like teeing his shit up.
You didn't even know that was Patrick Stewart, Zach.
Chewing
that
scenery.
And who was playing the Frankenbuck guy?
That's Frank Welker.
So that...
He's a horror book.
I felt like they were going for Hunchback. I think they were trying to make him like a Hunchback book.
He was modeled after Quasimodo, but certainly the performance.
Well, I didn't know he was modeled after a person. Oh no! I thought it was like a ghoul. I thought it was like a.
I get that.
You guys are telling me
it's
more like
the 90s was incredibly demeaning.
God damn it. Now I look like an asshole. For the record, I would like to very clearly state I thought that character was supposed to be a spoopy. Ghoul. Horror. Spoopy ghoul.
Maybe we're the assholes.
Yeah, I think
you guys are the assholes.
Yeah. I'm looking this up.
No, totally. Yeah, Frank Welker. Yeah, that voice actor is the same dude who voiced Fred in Scooby-Doo and still voices Fred.
Oh,
right.
No way.
Am I getting that right? Frank Welker? Am I getting that right?
Let me look him up. Fred and Scooby-Doo.
Right.
He did Megatron, Galvatron, and Soundwave and Transformers.
Jesus.
He was Curious George. He was Garfield. He was on Futurama. I'll tell you a little bit more about him later, but yep. He has a wild
stacked, and all they did was have him do ghoul voices.
Yeah, I think I forget what it was. I think it was I listened to Talking Tunes, which is a podcast by Rob Paulsen, who voices Yakko from Animaniacs or Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. And he was telling stories about Frank Welker, who's apparently a legend in the voice acting community, where they could give him a direction of like, I need you to play a beluga whale with a cold. And then he would do something, and then they'd be like, perfect. That is exactly what it's supposed to
be. I just had a house shown to me by the original voice actor of Donald Duck.
Oh, shit.
The original?
That's cool.
The original. He's a part-time realtor in North Hollywood, and he's very jaded that they replaced him as of recently, but he's the original. All the rides and stuff that have Donald Duck in it, or like all the tuned out, whatever the fuck it's called, that's his voice.
Voice acting drama. I love this.
He's very salty.
I love spilling some voice tea. I love this.
That's Kelsey's outing corner for you.
I do have a story about voice actors. It's not, it's, you brought up Pinky in the Brain, but the voice of the brain, Maurice LaMarche, he did a voice on our show, and he was playing like an amphibious creature, right? And the director was like, oh yeah, if you could just like voice this person. And he's like, okay, so what type of environment are they in? And he's like, oh yeah, they're in like a marsh. And he's like, okay, cool. And so he takes water, puts it in his mouth, and then reads the lines. And it gives such a good performance. And then he's also like wetting himself up and like just throwing himself in this character. But it's so good. It's so good. And it's just like stuff like that you kind of need to have in your voice actory mind.
That's like the same voice I have when I gargle cum. That's the only thing I could think
exactly.
of. Was like,
exactly.
Girls have to do that voice all the time. That's not unique. I bet you.
I was getting nervous because we're about 30 minutes in and we did not have a guzzling cum reference. Right. So I thank
and
you
I
for
feel
that.
Like that's not unique or newer talent at all. Like we do that all the time. Am I right, ladies and gays?
I do understand.
Where's my Emmy?
Yeah, I don't have an EGOT. Okay, but speaking of egots and pleasures, Whoopi Goldberg as the fairy godbook mother is fucking fantastic, and I decided I want her as like a tattoo.
She stole the movie for so many of the things that she said when I was younger had me rewinding that VHS tape so I could hear it again, and it still happened now in even more jokes that I didn't get when I was younger.
Yes.
I got now. Like,
there's some adult hidden things in this movie.
Dude, calling somebody a short story, I will use that now. That is so good.
So good.
The writing in this is a pleasure. It's actually quite funny and quick. I wasn't expecting that.
There are so many book puns. They had such a field day with it. One of her first lines is, "You mustn't judge a book by its cover." You got Patrick Stewart going, "Come on, boy, even a book has spines." Yeah. Which that one
I
got
love. Yeah,
I wrote
that
down
one.
My three favorite lines was, "He's possessed. He's insane. He's my guy." Then there was so the good. Insult from the bully in the beginning. I fucking fell out of my chair where they're about to make fun of Macaulay Culkin riding around in like a safety suit. He goes, "Hey, Richard, where are you going? The moon." I was like,
because
what?
That's an
and
E.T.
The third
reference.
One,
is it not?
Oh,
is it?
Yeah, like
I have no idea.
I didn't know that.
He was wearing like a construction zoo.
Wait, what's your third?
Well, then the third was, he shouldn't swim after eating, you know, you get crabs.
You get cramps.
Instead of cramps, it's crabs. It's funny.
Oh, he said crabs for real? I thought I misheard that.
Yes, because he was in the ocean. You should swim after you eat, you get crabs. And I was like, oh, it sounds like he's saying cramps, but maybe I have it wrong. I enjoyed
I loved it. The one that still holds up now for me was, say the word, Captain, we'll show you the color of his insides. And he goes, Red! Red! They're red!
It's red. I can just tell you right now.
Yeah.
We don't need to do this. And then I never caught this before, but when he's like, he had a book, a gigantic book fall on him, and he's hoisting it up, and the book's called Atlas Shrugged.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was
a good one. That was my favorite part of the entire movie. There's so many stupid, geeky, nerdy book references. And in fact, I was watching like... the background to see what books were just featured, because you're through a library this entire time, and like The Shining is on one of the walls, which really surprised me. But that Atlas Shrugged gag really tickled me so much. I can't believe how delighted I was by
it. I loved that.
Here's the thing I really respected about this movie. You know, it was funny. It's a children's movie that is very scary.
It's dark.
The animation is dark.
I feel like that it was that period of like, cartoons. Yes. They were all kind of creepy in a weird way. Like,
I actually remember another movie that they're responsible for. I think they're responsible for, because we're talking about scary animation. I think they're also the ones that helped make The Brave Little Toaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you remember The Brave Little Toaster, remember that nightmare scene from The Brave Little Toaster? Yeah.
Yes.
Just
that
scary
is exactly
for no reason. Anyway.
That was this whole movie.
Yeah, I remember specifically being creeped out during the Jekyll to Hyde transformation as a kid.
Yes,
which now looking on Hyde, it looks like a kind of a reject from the Gorillas. He kind of had that face.
Yeah, you're right. But there's like sharks, there's pirates kidnapping you, there's dragons, there's spoopy wizard men. Like there's
Captain
not
really. Ahab fucking dies?
Yeah.
There's like, you lose your friends. Like this whole movie was exactly what Thomas said at the beginning, was like, you are going to be exposed to all of your fears. Yep. No respite, no high. Maybe Whoopi Goldberg's like pink book might fill you a little bit with cheer, but other than that, you're going to be in a fucking demented nightmare animation for the next hour.
The very first thing that happens in the library is he opens up The Hounds of Baskerville, a literary reference that the children love. And these demon dogs jump out of it. They're like the demon dogs from Ghostbusters, but even scarier. Yep. Like so scary. And like, you normally have that movie, that moment in a children's movie, like around the second act break, where it's like, oh wow, it's getting a little scary for a minute, but then we're gonna get happy again. Nonstop, pedal to the metal, scary shit, start to finish.
No,
respect the fuck.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. The early 90s had some animation that just was experimentally scary, and this was definitely part of that. But yeah, that was, I think, out of the things that I love about this movie and still do, is how intense, like how beautiful some of that animation is. Mm-hmm. That just like
the Ahab moment, especially
the Ahab moment with the coloration changes. That was so cool. And then the fairies in the fantasy, like the dancing that happened, like on and that song. Well, that's not having to do with the
talk about it though.
Yeah, go ahead.
The fairies, I think they did like mocap of actual ballerinas and then illustrated over it. It was like a weird effect element that I'm like, oh, this is not animation anymore. They're mixing in live action in a very cool way.
No, I definitely think you're
right. So this then leads into my like guilt / pleasure / like disrespect of like the animation community in general. Because this is like the type of like, this movie I feel like was a weird like cash grab. Like just being like, oh yeah, I'm going to have Macaulay Culkin in our thing. Because he's like extremely hot right now. Throw him in whatever
that
we want.
So hot.
But the animation in this shit is the true star of it. And nobody gives a fuck. Nobody cares at all. If you go and you like look at like what they're doing, they're hand fucking drawing everything. And then like in order to have like these scenes be so fluid, they're doing like three, four frames a second or whatever. I don't know how many frames are in shit.
That's a lot of
I don't know the specific number, but I know it's a lot of frames to have it be that smooth. But if you go and you just hand draw that shit, it takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort and money. I doubt they were getting that money back then. I'm pretty sure Patrick Stewart, Macaulay Culkin, everybody got it all. But you try to do that shit today, that's already like $2 million. So for them to like just be like, oh yeah, let's just have Macaulay Culkin in some like random thing. It doesn't really matter. It's just Macaulay Culkin. And then have this thing be
he'll show four, up days for one, filming, 4 days of filming. 4 days of filming.
Do everything else from the fucking booth.
Seriously.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was like, man, he had some of the easiest acting scenes because it's just some bookend, bookend shots. But
bookends.
I wish I could.
You didn't do that on purpose.
No, I can't say I did. But I wish I could say that.
That was good.
It's really raining.
But yeah, no. I mean, you make a good point, Garrick, because I feel like Ferngully, who they also, I know that they were responsible for that movie, and Robin Williams was in that movie as the Bat, and there was a whole thing between because he was in Aladdin at the same time, and they kept being like Disney tried to get him fully into Aladdin, but he was like, no, I signed on to Ferngully first. Like they were, the way that it was described is that that animation studio was still very up and coming and kind of like this little baby animation studio, and Robin Williams was like, no dude, I signed onto this. He was very passionate about saving the rainforest. Disney was like, come on, we're Disney, give us your, I may be paraphrasing, but this is what I remember hearing about. They were still very like this up and coming kind of like animation studio. It's even more kind of like a tribute to like how much they did accomplish with that animation, because it really did make the movie.
The cross of when it's bringing reality and animation together, you know, that moment when he's running through a live action library, but this giant paint blobs are crawling down from the ceiling. I was just, that's exactly what my disassociation feels like, is a fucking acid trip that I didn't ask for. But second of all, I was like, I am so impressed by when this was put out that we're not seeing like more advancement in animation, I guess, just because.
Do you know why? The director of the live action, Joe motherfucking Johnston. That's the homie who directed the Rocketeer, the first Captain America. He is a straight up G.
I would have never guessed.
What else did he did? Jumanji, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
So he's a director.
That was great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing where he's like, I'm just going to direct.
I love Joe Johnston.
Live action bookend. It doesn't really matter. Yeah, and I do truly believe that they, and going back to the fucking cash grab of it all, they're like, we need to get, we already got Macaulay Culkin. What we need to get his face in it. I feel like they did the animation first, and they're like, let's figure something else out so that we can have his face in it at the beginning and at the end, because it definitely does.
And on the poster.
Because they definitely tricked you into thinking it was going to be a live action movie, and then they just put in an animation movie and then came out to be another live action with Macaulay Culkin's rosy cheeks.
What I didn't realize a couple years later, after I had known the movie existed, I remember being in my school's library and finding the book called The Pagemaster. And I wasn't sure. It's the illustration.
Yeah. Thomas was like, now? Is it happening?
Now?
Is it
really happening? Like, but it looked like it was the illustrations in
he
it.
He looks
are,
up. Where's Christopher Lloyd?
The illustrations in it were so beautiful. I found out the book came out in 1993. The movie came out in 94. So I'm like, that doesn't seem like it would have been long enough. So I feel like for an animation studio to make all of a movie based around a book. So I don't know if it was like a joint release.
That feels like a joint release.
It must have been, because I saw the movie took years to make.
The book probably got finished first. Because that is honestly, probably you kind of have to have a companion book for that. Especially if you're trying to get kids to read.
And it worked, because I definitely read that. I read the heck out of that. the illustrations in that book were beautiful.
To transition us firmly into guilt just for a little bit, I looked, I'm not going to lie, I looked down at my phone for 1 minute, and all of a sudden, about an hour into the movie, it breaks into a full musical number out of nowhere.
Thank you. And
it is the worst, most atrociously 90s song that I could ever just put in a movie.
I just wrote that song with a period.
Hey, put on a song.
I don't know who. Do you know who sang it?
Let's find out.
I tried to look it up. I don't. They definitely were like, we're going to get our Oscar, baby.
To be fair, I thought it was going to be worse than what I ended up witnessing. Because I remember, I haven't seen the movie since I was a kid. So when I was rewatching it last night, I was like, ooh, wow. We're getting to the music. And I remembered not exactly enjoying it, but I appreciated the animation during that sequence.
Yes.
Wendy Moten?
Oh, Wendy
Moten. Anyone know Wendy Moten?
But it's, you know, she it has her its name. Charms.
It makes it so sad. It reminded me of Tarzan, which we won't get into because on this podcast we can't seem to agree.
Don't you?
But I was just like, oh my God, you're trying to emotionally like attack me right now, Phil Collins. Get the fuck out of here with your fucking
emotionally attack you. You mean deliver? You mean deliver a goddamn all time gem of a soundtrack?
Exciting!
Wow! Wow!
But it just didn't work for me,
Kelsey.
What the fuck? All
right, we're going to have to agree to disagree there, Kelsey. We can agree on this. I feel like if they want to pick a lane in this movie between musical and I think they kind of put a song in there with no.
Okay, but speaking of picking a lane, we talked about this a little bit before. What is the character's need? Because I would argue that the character needs to learn courage. Yeah. But the movie is about him learning that books are dope. And I'm sorry, I love books. Books don't make you cooler.
books are where you go to be safer from the outside world. Yes, that was...
It's where you retreat.
This ties into my guilt, which is like, books make you smarter. And this kid is already fucking smart as fuck.
So smart.
He should be going to Harvard. He should be being studied by some sort of scientist. The fact that he can just regurgitate facts at any moment's notice.
Without
the
internet.
You guys need to put him in a fucking program of some sorts. Not like ask him to go hang out with the school bullies on the fucking block so that he gets a little bit of courage and character. Nah, bitch. Put that motherfucker in a program and let him make you millions.
Let him make you millions.
Make him read more.
Pimp out your kid. Pimp out your smart
beginning
ass
of the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't need him to read more books.
No, for sure.
He's clearly
beginning of the movie.
Reading.
Macaulay Culkin from the hip. He shoots out. It's 18% of deaths at home are related from ladder falls. Like, how do you know that stat, kid?
Genius.
Also, this pissed me off. The dad was like, he's scared of mercury levels in tuna. He should be scared.
Yeah, no.
He's right.
Everybody
we should all
be afraid
terrified.
Of mercury levels.
The oceans are being poisoned. He's ahead of the curve.
I don't know if I'm allowed to jump to a kind of a what you just kind
of
like
of course
jump
you
from
can.
What Zach.
Yeah. You may do whatever
it's your
you
podcast.
Like. You're our esteemed guest.
One thing I noticed this time around upon watching it that really didn't sit well with me is that the kid definitely did, I think, some growing in terms of like. I can get behind the idea of feeling some sense, like gaining a sense of self-worth and feeling more confident with himself. But the dad didn't do any growing. And I felt like there would have been like, I don't know. I just.
Yeah.
Dad's kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah. I feel like he should have accepted his son the way that
he was.
The way that he
that
was.
That he's a fucking nerd. And now instead of actual friends, he has
also,
book friends.
Why the fuck are you building a treehouse for your scary ass kid?
Yeah.
You knew.
Sounds like somebody.
Hates.
You knew.
He's projecting.
Yeah. That was another guilt. No self-respecting parent would let their kids sleep in a treehouse, regardless of, like, just by himself.
Let's let him
There's
sleep
creepos
up there.
Out there.
I don't know. I had a treehouse. I had a treehouse that my dad won at a golf tournament. It was a big deal because all the kids came over to our house, and it was, like, a legit one.
That's pretty
and we,
dope. We're all
we
jealous.
We ran an extension cord up into it and had a TV. And we slept in it, but I'm from Florida, and I have an interesting relationship with my parents. So maybe you are right, Garrick.
That's free shit. That is free.
But
as
listen,
fuck.
Listen to the end of this movie. Macaulay Culkin is sleeping in a treehouse. The mom takes his glasses off, and then they go, "Let's let him sleep out here."
They took
his glasses
off.
He's gonna wake up in a tree,
blind
as fuck. He had a concussion earlier today. This kid has a concussion. He's gonna die out there.
You set him up for failure.
Really
his magical, fantasy is gonna catch him. That's
okay. so like the whole thing too, to like bring up that point, right, is that the books were actually using him to try and get out of the library because he had a library card. So they were all using him. They weren't even actually his real friends. They were all like, take me. They all got what they wanted. They used our boy.
I don't
think
it's fuck those books.
They still
books.
Get returned.
They do, and they get returned eventually. But yeah, no, I agree. I think that they, maybe it's just because of the animation studios only had a certain amount of time or like work that they could actually like dedicate to this movie. But I did feel like the pacing wise, I didn't get the satisfaction of them growing a relationship or realizing that it's like, if there was supposed to be a friendship between him and these books, like, were they gonna learn anything? I felt like adventure learned to accept horror, which I kind of took as like, oh, horror has a scared problem, so maybe horror is a parallel for Richard and adventure is like what Richard's always trying to pursue, and then they had to like,
whoa,
either that or adventure's evasion from horror is a comment on man's fragile relationship with their masculinity, who knows.
And apparently ableist as fuck.
Yeah.
My biggest guilt with this movie is the fucking name. The Pagemaster. When Zach told us we were watching this, I was like, oh my God, what is this about? Like, it struck me as some sort of like fucking, oh God, what's the name of the movie with the two Boston boys that go to the school and one's a brilliant kid?
Oh,
Goodwill Hunting?
Goodwill Hunting.
Thank you. I was like, wow, are we going to watch some like brilliant, intelligent, like literary, like, I don't know, scholar thriller or something? And it was like, we named a children's movie The Pagemaster. Yeah. Why? It's so boring. You couldn't have said like The Adventures of Pay, like the Library on fucking Crack Acid. Like, there was no better title for this movie.
Coincidentally,
it's the worst,
Kelsey,
title ever.
They did test The Library on fucking Crack Acid, and it didn't pass a lot of.
Well, that's why I don't work at Disney, and instead I work on the weird side of the internet.
They, once again, this is not a Disney movie.
Oh, well, it is to me.
Yeah,
I've stated that it.
You know, I'm realizing that Thomas and Kelsey, you're like the yin and yang of Florida.
That's
the good
so
of fucking
funny.
That's hilarious.
Oh my God,
it's so true. Oh my God.
Two different kinds of people come out of Florida.
What happened to me?
You
that
don't have the
went
whimsy.
So wrong.
Kelsey, you left.
I don't. The whimsy, I snorted it and it came out in my kidneys when I was like 13. Oh my God.
It's okay.
Whimsy gets you fucking high.
There's like fairy dust, and Thompson's like, ooh, I'm going to follow it. Kelsey's like,
I know. That's why I loved the fantasy book so much. I was like, give it to me, take me away.
But you know,
no.
You ended up getting a great animated adventure.
There you go.
But I agree. The Pagemaster, I totally agree, could
not
have been workshopped
name.
A bit more.
Yep. Not a great
name. Not interesting at all.
I thought this was going to be a math movie. That's like literally.
Thank you. That's
or a
what
hacking
I meant.
Movie or something like that.
How dare yes. you, Garrett, think I'm going to subject you to a math movie?
No,
but then when I realized it was you, Thomas, and as I'm watching this the whole time, I'm just going, a fucking course he loves this fucking movie. Pure ass, motherfucking heart. Good person ass, having. What's wrong with you? Give us one thing that's bad about you.
Oh,
what's
so
deep
many
and
things,
dark?
Kelsey. So many things.
You watch some weird porn?
Selfishness issues. What's that?
Oh, that's good. Selfishness.
You ever do
good.
A hit and run?
Oh, a hit. Oh, oh wow. My God. Zach, that
damn.
Was dark.
No, thank God. No. I actually, a tire blew out with me. Like, I was driving on the interstate
oh
last God. Week. And that,
oh,
that,
so something bad happened.
That was
to
a little
you.
Scary. I did
and
have
you're
to.
A sweet person. That's awful. I feel bad for you now.
Yeah, well, you know, it was my fault, kind of. I hit a pothole in the neighborhood, and then I didn't check.
Bad person.
I didn't check
bad
it.
Person.
I'm
a, there it
I'm
is. A, there's
I'm
going to
just go ahead and say it. Protect Thomas.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Protect Thomas at all costs.
Wow.
Protect him at all costs.
There it is.
He's a
there,
fucking
yeah.
beautiful
you guys
person.
Are very
yeah,
sweet.
It's true.
I want you to consider us, Thomas. You're,
it's true.
I, we
yeah,
are your three
we're your
books.
Three
we're going to be there for you.
Wait, oh, my God.
Whatever you
okay,
need.
Who's who? Kelsey's fantasy? Zach?
Obviously.
Are you... What Garrick Adventure Zach Horror? Yeah.
But wait, Zach has to be the
I
fucked
think
up
I'm
book
definitely
with
horror.
His
if you guys
back
were about
issues.
This fucking
horror.
Scary spice
horror.
Me, I would have got so mad.
Oh no. That's no horror.
We already
yeah.
know fucking Garrick hates the Spice World movie, by the way. Spoiler for a future episode later. To come very soon.
I have not watched that movie.
You shouldn't.
Horror is the sweetheart. That's why I was saying that.
Yeah.
He really is. I bet as a kid you would laugh the most at horror because he screams a lot. And everyone kids loves
I loved horror when I was a kid. I was like, that's who. And he always wanted to be like just like carried by Richard.
Yeah.
I was like, what a sweetheart.
Yeah, him wanting to kiss.
Also, okay, we can't get out of this podcast without a addressing this. There are three books, the three genres of literature: fantasy, adventure,
there's
and
only
horror?
Three.
What, those
yeah.
are what? Why are those the three genres?
Children's books?
That's so weird.
You know,
sci-fi would have been a hard sci-fi world for him to have to go through.
Yeah. Sci-fi would have been fucking weird. Also, like it would have been a weird.
Would have been.
Yeah.
He would have had to like go through freaking, I don't know, a Brave New World. Right. That would have been a weird thing for him to have to experience.
And that would have been a perfect person for Patrick Stewart coming off of fucking The Next Generation.
Oh,
there you go.
That would have been amazing. Yeah. Okay, I take it back.
It would have been
that good. Would have been awesome.
And, yeah, Patrick Stewart, Leonard Nimoy, Whoopi Goldberg, and there's one more guy. There are four Star Trek people.
I feel
in
like
this
it
movie.
Was like, well, in between shooting TNG, let's just put them in. Why not? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Winnie the Pooh was in this movie. Jim Cummings.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
He was.
Who's coming?
Jim Cummings. I knew you would catch on to that, Kelsey.
You guys lost me when you started talking about fucking Star Wars. Star I'm like out of here.
Star Trek. It's a different star. I'll move us on to our next segment. I will say, though, you know, if you've your whole life like me, you've been like, when am I going to see a movie where two books make out?
Yeah.
Finally, the page master delivers for you.
What was that? I don't remember that. Yeah. I don't know what purpose it served.
I'll never forget that.
And it was I would have been like, if they had earned it. I don't, but there was, it wasn't earned.
No, they were just,
I would be willing to.
Well, and what was weird about it too is that the books made out and then Adventure was like, basically was like, do you want to fuck? He said, I think, you ever wanted to cozy up with a warm book?
Curl up.
And then she slapped.
Which is dirtier somehow.
Curl
up with a good book. Yeah, no, I thought the same thing.
Yeah,
I was like,
every time you curl up with a good book, you fall asleep with a book on your dick. Like, that's just what happens. That's just what
happens. Why?
The surprise faces.
I do fall asleep with a book on my dick. You're right.
When you're right, you're right.
You're right.
Fantasy knocked that shit out. She was like, nope, not having it. Yep. Yeah,
she was hot.
So thank you for that.
Well, I'm going to hit us with a couple fun facts.
Yay!
By the way, this is not one of mine, but this was Whoopi Goldberg, 1994 animation. She had just won an Oscar for Ghost. This is also the same year that Lion King came out. So she was doing double duty animation.
You don't
say. She was in Burbank all day.
Yeah, I almost wonder if maybe she came maybe she helped out that animation studio because Robin Williams did a movie with them before because
they were very close. Both came up with the Comedy Store.
It's like the three of us guys.
Because if you guys still
cute, definitely wouldn't mind becoming animated and going on an adventure through multiple different books. Pagemaster 2, we need it. And it'll be called a different movie.
Whoa.
And they'll be going to the lands of sci-fi, Western, and romance novels.
Nice.
Oh my God, and Macaulay Culkin would probably do it. He's working again, right?
Let's get Kieran.
I think so.
I would prefer that movie. I would love that.
Kieran Culkin.
Let's get Kieran. Someone tweet at Macaulay Culkin and ask him if we can do Pagemaster 2. Let's ask the audience to help us do that because I would like to know if he would do it.
Do you think Kieran looks at Macaulay and he's just like, I fucking beat you. I beat you. I beat you.
This is real life
succession. Isn't Macaulay with Mila Kunis? Or who's Macaulay Culkin with?
He was at one point.
Who's he with now?
Which is crazy to me.
Brenda Song. They're married with a kid, I think.
Good for them.
He's
fine.
He's
with Brenda Song a lot.
I want everything good to happen to Macaulay
Culkin. Oh, me too.
But I do also want Kieran Culkin to be successful because that's probably who he is. He's been waiting for this.
He
deserves get off this.
Have you seen Succession?
I mean, Kieran's got
so
Scott Pilgrim,
good.
Succession. So
My
good.
God.
By the way, the Pagemaster mentioned that he had to pass three tests. Was the three tests just that he had to live?
Yeah. It was because if he dies.
If you don't die.
That's a good point.
I think the way that the Pagemaster put it at the end is that you were never really in danger, but the fact that you kept going forward meant that you were passing the test.
Ah, unlocked.
Yeah. For your next test, a dragon will eat you. Yeah. What do you do?
Yeah.
Don't die.
The only thing that I feel could like accommodate your issue, Zach, which I think is very valid in regards to the idea of embracing adventure, but with books, it's like you look at the main characters of those novels and you like kind of like look like these main characters, you can emulate it and be that in your real life. But my issue is that he basically, maybe unless it was intentional, the people that he came across were all like the villains of every book.
Yeah.
But maybe that was intentional. Maybe he was supposed to be the main character.
It's almost like they wrote a movie about this guy who's like, books are lame. Books aren't cool. And then he goes through this adventure. He's like, wow, you're right. They are cool. But then they cast Macaulay Culkin and they're like, oh, well, he can't be like the cool kid who doesn't think books are cool. Macaulay Culkin has to play.
He ramped a bike. That's pretty cool, I guess, at the end. That he means did. He was cool. That was his character growth.
So what if I told you that this movie featured the third highest grossing actor of all time?
All time?
Mr. Frank Welker, the voice, the man himself who we've been talking about, horror, because of his involvement in all of these huge franchises as voice actor. Wow. As a voice actor.
Welker?
Yeah.
He's the third most paid?
So it's basically the actor who has been in the movies that has made the most money. Number one for a very, very long time until recently was Samuel L. Jackson.
Yes.
Who I argue is the GOAT. And he has been overtaken, I would argue, by a technicality. Someone, though, that we will all be happy with, Mr. Stan Lee.
Oh, really?
Because he's in in every single Marvel movie.
He was making bank on those cameos? I had no idea.
I thought you do a cameo for free. I thought that's the point of the cameo.
So
is you just show up.
Okay, so you didn't. So I've explained this wrong. Not the highest paid, the actor who is the highest grossing. The actor whose movies have made the most money.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
And if that's too confusing, then we should cut that out.
Also, Kelsey, the whole point of the app Cameo is to make money. So
that's a very good point. I am on Cameo. Hit me up. I've actually had a lot of people come to Cameo from this podcast that they said they heard me say I had a Cameo.
Okay, that's amazing.
I think it was the Bryce episode or whatever. And I really enjoyed it. I've done Mother's Day stuff recently, birthdays, graduations. No
kidding. Oh my. I also just learned, this is more important, Kelsey has an OnlyFans for her feet.
For only my feet. And they're like joke photos of my feet. It started as a joke of me being like, I'm going to do OnlyFans, but I'm only going to post disgusting
feet.
Because
her feet are not nice. That's the point.
They're gross. They're like... not
well don't give it for
like,
free
don't give
it
that don't to free
don't give it
for free don't give it for free
I'm sorry
we charge money
I'm sorry but people like disgusting feet pictures and I think
for those just listening to the podcast Kelsey's toenails are about 12 inches long it's amazing
exactly it's chew on them on the
impressive.
OnlyFans yeah it would start as a joke now I have an OnlyFans for feet anyways how did we get here go back to fun facts
I don't know that's
go back
we're
to
supposed
fun
to
facts.
Save that These for our plug section
facts.
Of course
yeah
Fun facts. Kelsey does have an OnlyFans for her ugly feet. So Thomas chose this movie, and then like in a 2 a.m. fury, must have woken up in a deep sweat and said, "Cats Don't Dance." That's my other favorite movie. Cats Don't Dance, which is another movie that I'm sorry to say,
dance?
Thomas, I don't know, and I want to watch someday with you. But here I have some bad news.
What?
But what?
This isn't a fun
fact. On Wikipedia, when talking about this movie, I guess this is a not fun fact. The Pagemaster was a box office bomb, and combined with Cats Don't Dance, which was also a box office bomb, those two movies that you love combined basically bankrupted and set back this animation studio, Turner Feature Animation.
I know.
So two of your favorite movies...
I
sent a studio into financial ruin.
Listen, I don't know why. Usually they're up against, like this was the, like Pagemaster. I totally have obviously some hesitations about. The reason I lost my head last night when I was like talking about Cast Down Dance is that I stand by that movie to this day. It is awesome. It does hold up, and I very much
enjoy
it.
You'll come on back.
And I would love for you all to
see it. You got musical numbers by Randy Newman.
And dance moves inspired by Gene Kelly. Like, freaking, it is good. And the actual, like...
I don't know this movie at all.
The story
me
is...
Me neither.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it is an unsung gem. Please have
all right,
me back.
I guess I know what I'm doing tonight after couples therapy.
Oh my gosh. Well, okay. Yes, if you do, please message me and let me know what you think.
I will.
Please have me back so I can talk about this movie with you guys because I love it so much.
Wow, set in the 1940s.
Thomas, okay. This is the point of the podcast where we need to decide, is this movie a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? And really, this is the moment to share one last time with the people why you love it and if they should watch it. What do you have to say?
I would probably say it is a guilty pleasure because I do think some of the story elements do not add up. But if you are an animation lover like I am, it is definitely worth it just to see some of the gorgeous moments that happen in this movie. It is worth it particularly for that. But then as a secondary, the voice acting. And if you just like a charming little adventure that maybe doesn't make a lot of sense, sometimes take it with a grain of salt.
I'll agree, guilty pleasure. And for me, it's really just like, I think this is a childhood adventure that I would have gotten off on so hard as a kid.
We're not even going to acknowledge it. Just go on.
That's true. But like, this is what I wanted as a kid. Yeah, I wanted to. And also, like, I love any story where I get to go into other references. And then as I get older, I'm like, oh, that was from, that's what that was from. I get it now. I love that stuff. I'm a sucker for it. So thanks for introducing us to
I'm
it.
So glad
Rick, I have to go next because I don't want to end on me. Okay, I'm going to say it's a guilt. I'm going to just say it threw me too many ways. Like, it had me in the beginning. I'm not going to lie. They had me in the first half. And then I just kind of was like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm in 7 different movies without actually being... I got just the tip of too many movies. I got just touched over my shirt and I wanted I wanted the full Monty and I was like, I wanted more. That's my guilt is that this isn't a ride at Disney.
I get it.
And that this isn't a Disney movie at all. So that's why it's a guilt.
Totally get it. And that's totally fair.
Yeah, I'll call it a guilty pleasure because I'm jealous that you got to watch this as a child because I feel like I would have read more and then I also would have just been...
Not been in comedy.
Yeah, not been in comedy. I would have been like an astrophysicist or some bullshit.
Fucking doctor. Yeah, like, fuck.
But
instead, you write animated comedies, Rick.
Yeah, so dude. It's just like, it's full fucking circle.
Whoa.
But...
That's great.
So it's fine.
But
it worked out.
Like I definitely feel like this is one of those like classics that you should watch and it has like an educational purpose at the end. A secret educational purpose.
You're so right. That's cool. Should see this as a kid, not as an adult.
It's not an adult movie.
You shouldn't
as an adult movie because life is just fucking turning you into a gremlin. But this is for sure a good movie for your kids.
I was on the cusp of calling it a guilt, but literally, like, there's one moment where they... so stupid. There's one moment where Adventure comes around the bend and finds Horror tied up, and it's just out of Gulliver's Travel, and I literally
I
get it. I'm so excited.
A book I know.
Oh, my God.
Totally forgot about that moment.
So stupid.
Yeah, that's great. I love
Thomas, what are you working on? Where can the people find you?
They can find me right now. I got 2 YouTube channels that they can follow me at. Thomas Sanders and Thomas Sanders and Friends. Not Thomas and Friends. That is the train, and he is my nemesis. And then all my socials, Twitter, Instagram. It's all Thomas Sanders. And I also have a TikTok where I continuously make comedic stuff over there still. And that's Thomas Sanders.
TikTok.
It is a ride and a half.
And as you tease, we got big stuff coming from us.
Very excited about it. Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on here.
Oh, this was so fun.
Oh, a pleasure. I'm at Corn Day and all the things.
I'm Kelsey Darrow and all the things.
I'm Gary Bernard on all of the things.
Guys, please rate the show. Tell your friends about it. Really helps people find it.
I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you the superior Cats movie. Cats Don't Dance.
Done.
What do you think about Josie and the Pussycats?
That's pretty good, too.
Good man. Good man. Yeah. Good man.